¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 331. It's the weekend podcast, so I'm joined by the beautiful ladies, Steve and Pete. Here are ladies. How you diddling?
I was waiting for you to say hello first, Pete.
All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the script. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Hello.
All right, lads, how are you? A nice week in the markets. What happened? Anything exciting happening?
I don't know. What I've been doing a lot of is actually just watching on the sidelines. I've been noticing. I'm not really buying any shares or doing anything, but it's quite entertaining watching stuff and listening to some of your podcasts and some very interesting podcasts you've
yes.
had.
Yes. Well, I tell you what. Dave Whitby, CEB Resources. Their shares suspended on Friday because there's an announcement on Monday morning, and some people say that Tom Winifred was saying that he abused the market there by saying too much on the podcast. The share price certainly did rocket after the podcast, and it was nuts. So we'll see what they say on Monday. But you know, I thought Dave gave a good bit of information, and then the shares, private investors loved that, didn't they?
Yeah.
Increased.
Saw a lot on Twitter about it.
Yeah. Did you? I saw Steve this week. It was Back to the Future Day. Steve had a classic question. It's a question about Back to the Future. Why is it? Does he have to do 80 miles an hour? Why is it in miles an hour if an Americans, use kilometers an hour?
See, obviously, lots of people have answered that question. I honestly thought America was in kilometers per hour, but that's just Europe, isn't it? Most of Europe.
Yeah,
they're very imperial.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And top speed there is 55. Actually, can you imagine travelling at 55? That's insane. Look at the cars they got. Some of the big cars and motors they got over there, and they are the home of the motor car. They can't do above 55. What a waste of engine, isn't it? Well, I say that I was only 15 miles an hour above that. But,
exactly. And everybody adheres to that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, as a classic question, then Steve, someone just replied on Facebook saying, it is miles an hour, Steve.
Thanks.
Okay.
Next question.
Yeah. So anyway, very exciting. We're in the markets with Dave Whitby there. And the thing is, a lot of people say, I was just thinking, it's funny, isn't it, the psychology of trading and investing, because people want to buy when our stock is hot, which is the wrong, attitude to have completely. It's like your immediate, sort of reaction, Pete, wasn't it? I should sell all my stocks and get into CEB,
And no, it wasn't my immediate
reaction. Yes, it was. You text, and I sell all my stocks, everything, my pants, my socks, my underwear, my beans.
Hold on. But I then said
it's going around your flat looking for things to sell.
Sell the farm.
Is that worth anything? It's beans, cans of beans. I'll take them down Rock's Farm. Do they give me money for that?
Yeah, that's right. I've been down the pawn shop. I've got rid of everything apart from my laptop, which I need to actually place a trade.
So you're sitting there naked. I've sold everything just to put more money in CEB Resources.
Come on, Dave.
Yeah.
Our day will sort it out. No, that's not what I said. What I was saying was, it's obviously much better to hedge your bets. But then when
you didn't say that at the start at all.
I did. I also said.
You said that after Justin told you not.
You were saying the last thing you said first.
That's
now
rubbish.
The first
that's
thing you said
rubbish.
Was like, I'm going to sell all my stocks and shove it in CEB Resources. And then I said, no, not now. I said, I hold a little bit of CEB Resources and of Seb there. And I said, I wouldn't mind buying more, but not yet. Because part of me, Dave is an excellent CEO. Like I said to him at the end of the podcast, you make me want to buy more shares in your company. And that's part of a talented CEO's, sort of CV. You should be able to do that, sell the company. If they can't, they shouldn't be CEO. he does an exceptional job. Maybe too good a job, almost, because people do want to just buy, buy, buy. But let's put this in context. Up until, you know, Monday may show us exactly what's going on. And obviously, they're very close to doing deals on attaining assets. Like you said, we're talking days, weeks, months, you know, not years. And so it could be happening. It could be the fact that, you know, those deals may get done on Monday. But up until that deal is done, they have no assets. And, you know, in all fairness to Tom Winifred, who does part of his shtick is, you know, trying to shock and be controversial. But he did say they've got, you know, less than £1 million in the bank. They've got to buy assets in for that and all that. So they have to raise capital, you know, and they are valued at about £9 million. So he said, you know, they're way overvalued, the EB. And it's funny, isn't it? But I said, you know, to a certain extent, it doesn't matter sometimes. A stock can go crazy on just hype and hope, you know. But you know, if you're a value investor, you certainly wouldn't invest in CEB because it's, you know. But saying that...
You haven't mentioned the last line of my text.
You should go back to that now, are you? Go on.
Yeah. Which was that? Which, no, that's the important part, is that he might be, you know, Dave does sound like a good guy, but you don't know, you know, what's the truth, do you? So... You can't just rely on that. It all sounded very good, and that's what Tom Winifred was saying, wasn't it, Pete? But basically, you know, if you dig a bit deeper, it might not everything that glistens is gold. So yeah, he might not be talking. You know, you've got to kind of take everything with a bit of, you know, reality or whatever as well, don't you?
Yeah, and
so
also,
that's what I was saying.
Listen, 99, I don't want percentage, but I'd say 95% of stocks on AIM don't earn a profit, you know?
Yeah.
And they mostly trade on that potent, you know, fuel that is hope. And that's why, especially on AIM, you buy on rumour, sell on fact. Because, you know, the hope is that Dave will turn this company, and he could do. He has, you know, he has the potential, he has the CV, he has the knowledge and the history to do it, track record to actually turn this company into a 3,000, you know, barrel a day oil company and with a market cap of 600 million. You never know if he could do that. He could do that. But that is hope. You know, people hope he does that.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, that he comes in on Monday and reveals one asset. You know, I believe people are pricing in more assets than that, you know, completely more assets. So you know, it's funny, I had people, you know, direct message me, say, I missed this, I should get in, shouldn't I now? I said, and I just said, no, wait for the pullback, you know, there's going to be one. And I believe this is the biggest, at the moment, it's trading on complete rumour. This, you know, I often say, cliches, you know, they hold a ring of truth. They're a cliche because they hold a ring of truth and they've been around, especially in the financial game. And buy on rumour, sell on fact. It's you know, a huge cliche that keeps coming back all the time. I tell you, Ted Baker, right, I owned those a while back, a very good company, and they came up with cracking earnings. And I got scared by the amount of good earnings they had. I thought, can't keep going on. They're in fashion, which is a fickle business. But literally, you look at their chart, the biggest pullbacks are on their results. And their results are brilliant. Every time, double-digit earnings growth. And you think, what's the deal here? And every time I owned them, I got used to after a while saying, oh, well, that's just, you know, this is what happens. This is just what happens. People are pricing in the fact that they are going to reveal. Because they not only, obviously, reveal results, they say also our forward order book is strong, you know? So on people then, buy more after the dip. They say, buy, oh, hang on, read that again. And they start buying more towards the next set of earnings. And then all of a sudden, take the profit. So I just think that's what's going to happen with Seb. You know, I think people are buying into the rumour here. And when the fact comes in... Listen, dreams are always nicer. They're always cleaner. They're always more sparkly. Aren't they? They always seem nicer than actual gritty reality, you know? And so we want to dream we could be a millionaire overnight in a stock. And the reality is it never, ever happens. We have to, you know. So I just think... Don't buy... It's like the hype cycle I was talking about last week. It's like, you know... Seb is a good stock because it's got a lot of hype with it. And that's the kind of stock you want to invest in because it can travel far. The share price can go a long way. And it's made people rich. You know, like Big Gibb has done really well at CB Resources. He owns over 4% of the stock. You know, and you can earn lots of money. But it's a lot of hype in there. And if you buy at the wrong time in that hype circle, you're going to wait until it's cooled off, then you get burned. It's basically, buying on spikes is always a bad thing, isn't it? And if anything about trading, you know, for the longer you do it, hopefully the less you'd be caught up in that, you know, sort of emotional frenzy that happens when buying goes on like that. It's you know, because it's nuts. And I mean, and you know, Warren Buffett and all that, people like that say, if you can calm your emotions and keep them in check, and wait and have a bit of discipline, that's where you earn the money, because you don't earn money, you know, good money from buying stocks that have spiked, you know. What's the difference? The only difference between a good trader, like I said at the start of yesterday's podcast or Friday's podcast, the only difference between a good trader and a bad trader is where you buy and where you sell. There's no other. You can come up with every other conspiracy, like, oh, they've got more information about me. They talk to the directors or the bigger holders or whatever. They've got a better internet. They've got to pay for sites, and they've got more time on their hands. Or you can make any excuse you want. But at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, where you buy and where you sell. Now, if you sell at the bottom and buy, you know, after it's risen quite a bit, you'll do quite well. I mean, a lot of people on AIM buy the top and sell at the bottom. You know, they're completely wrong way around. The emotions get to them. So, you know, you've just got to buy at the right time, I suppose, you know.
Well, my dream last night, as I told you earlier on text, I won £2.9 million.
Oh, right, sorry, the other dream, yes. The first one you told me about, Steve, was disgusting.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. He said he had to buy lots of wipes to wipe himself down and stuff. And
yeah.
But what was the other one, Steve?
Yeah, one of my stocks, I don't know, it came in and I went up to £2.9 million. And the weird thing is, I cashed it out at a little kiosk out on the streets, and they gave it to me in cash in a bag. Wow. And then I went and bought a Mercedes, and I was just driving around really random places. It was just bizarre. But yeah.
See, that's what I mean, see, about dreams and reality. Now, that is never going to happen, is it? You've got a little kiosk, cashing your shares somehow, and then how did you
buy 2.9 million?
Yeah, 2.9 million. Carry around in a bag, and then you walk into a Mercedes dealership with your bag.
Yeah.
Oh dear, I've got 2.9 million.
Like a camper van.
What?
The Mercedes was a camper van as well. It was bizarre. It was very surreal.
You decided to buy a Mercedes camper van with your 2.9 million.
2.9 million.
What goes out of Steve's head there?
Yeah.
So have you bought or sold anything this week, lads?
Stocks and shares? Or other stuff?
Yes. Oh. Rather than camper van, Mercedes
camper van. This week, no. Nothing this week. No. I'm just sat and watched, and you know,
exactly the same for me as well. Just watch him.
Yeah. How about you, Justin?
Yes, I have. I sent out my new my email newsletter last week on Audio Boom.
Oh, yes.
And I bought some more of that because I think at the moment they're at a low. They're showing a bit of a bottom there. Woohoo! Check out my bottom. And I was listening while I was compiling that newsletter. I kept listening back to the podcast I did with Rob Proctor, the CEO.
Mm.
And at the moment, I just think there's quite a few things going on there that's changing. First and foremost, I don't know what they were doing beforehand, Audio Boom, but now they decided to feature, but one of their key performance indicators is going to be listens, active listens. And that means people will listen within the last 3 months. Before, they were more focused on getting content to the site, which I don't see why they're doing that. Because they're almost, people said that when they first started, you are the YouTube of audio. No, that doesn't work. That does not work. People do not go to an audio site to listen to the latest clip or something. And it doesn't work with that. Or just search for clips they want to listen to. It doesn't work with that. With audio, it's almost what you need to do is capture people who listen to podcasts, for example. If you listen to one podcast, you're highly likely to try out some others, you know?
Yeah.
And the ones you listen to the most, Audio Boom, need to get those people on their site. And that's what they're doing. And so they've realized they've gone from having content partners to getting, you know, the good ones, the ones that are listened to. And they're putting basically white label players on all these webs, all these sort of, many of these people are, as well, are radio stations. They'll put these players on their websites, listen again, feature players and all this stuff. In fact, in this country, they don't deal with Global and with Bauer. So if there's any interview, obviously, with a star or anything like that, and you go to that company's website, it'll be Audio Boom's player playing out, and they can put pre- and post-roll adverts on that. And also, what they're doing, which I quite like, is they're monetizing it, but they've done a deal with this Cumulus, this place, the second biggest radio group in America. Now, at the moment, their listens are 30 million a month, right? And they're starting to monetize this. They've decided to,
like your podcast.
Yeah. But exactly right. That's me. I joined Audio Boom, that's all me.
Oh, I see.
But this one deal, Cumulus, and they're doing other deals. Have a look at the deals they're doing. They're doing deals in India. They're chatting with people in China. They're doing deals in Hispanic America. But this one deal in America, right, will increase their listening by, I think it was a ridiculous amount, but it's like 24 million, I think it's more than that actually, a month. So almost double they're listening in a month, you know? So it's gone from...
And Audio Boom generate revenue through the pre and post roll ads.
Yes, yes, exactly. They do a revenue share, basically, on that.
Right, right.
So, first of all, the listening figures are going to go through the roof, almost double overnight. And they've only just started putting half the content. It's by January. They haven't even started monetizing most of this yet, and they can monetize all of it. And so I think their revenue was nothing in the last 6 months. It was like 50 grand, ridiculous. In the next 6 months, it could be 450,000, which is still not a lot because their village valued at 20 million. So they're well overvalued. But I think now that will start multiplying up hugely, that revenue. And
who are their competitors?
Well, that's it. I mean, what they need to chase now is they are chasing like very popular speech-based audio, programs and stuff like that, and they're not after music. I assume, iTunes, but they are integrated with iTunes, I understand. So if I put my stuff up for Audio Boom, it goes to iTunes as well anyway. So, you know, why not put it on Audio Boom, get some revenue, you can get revenue from your own, I can do a split, revenue share with Audio Boom. So why wouldn't you load it to Audio Boom, have it syndicated off to iTunes as well anyway, rather than just put it on iTunes, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I think a good little model there, and they're starting to realise when they first went there, they started to thought, okay, we'll get people to upload funny bits of audio. That won't happen. It's not like video.
No,
it's different.
No.
What you need are very addictive podcasts like Serial and American Life and all that stuff. You know, stuff that people are addicted to. You want that playing on their, and that's what they need to chase. And that's they are sort of doing that. They are chasing down groups. And I bought more audio. And also, they hinted about this deal with a handset maker,
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which I think is quite exciting. And like I said, they're low at the moment.
What sort of handsets?
Mobile phone handsets, I think.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, just plastic ones.
Help. Yeah, I was going to say, if it's Fisher Price.
Yeah, it's not like a set of hands you can get.
No. Oh, I see. Right, it's not a handset.
No, not a handset.
Got it.
So I think there are lots of news coming out now, and they're starting to go in the right direction. And I also read a broker note recently saying, what was it? Something like, for a social media site, they've got about 5 million registered users now. And they said, for a social media site, the price in America, for example, the price per I think was it per sign up or something, it was like $100 per person or something. That's how you revenue how you value it. But Audio Boom is only valued at $7 per person. So going by traditional social media sites is undervalued. But I think they I just think they're ready for turnaround. I think they're getting their stuff in order. I was going to swear.
Yeah.
But they're going for listens and monetizing those listens, which is, of course, is where they should be heading. And I don't know what they were doing before, but I think they were just trying to get content partners on and all that stuff. But they're headed in the right direction. They're not too concerned about their website. They just see it as a platform for delivering audio, So that's on people's work. And they've got 8,000 to 10,000 embedded players, and that's increasing all the time around the world.
Wow.
So if you want to listen again feature, for example, then that will be them supplying it. And I just think it's a huge over the next year or so. And they say they will be profitable by 2017. So that's we're a year away pretty much from that profit.
Yeah,
so going from a loss, and they've got 3 million quid in the bank as well. They've got cash in the bank. So I've scaled a bit more into that. I bought about three times this week.
Right, you've just sold that to me, just.
Yeah. But
do your own research, Steve.
I will.
Yeah, do your research.
No, you won't.
No, I won't.
But they're targeting podcasters now and addictive audio, rather than just saying, come and put some audio on our site and hopefully people will turn up to it and listen. No, that's not the way forward. You've got to, there's no point sort of trying to sell a bit of audio to someone who doesn't listen to audio, doesn't podcast.
No.
Like, how many podcasts have you listened to in the last few? I guess a good example, actually. Steve, do you listen to many podcasts before you started listening to this podcast? Did you listen to many?
I'd occasionally find an upbeat dance one for the gym and stuff. But no, apart from that, no, I would never look out any kind of speech-based podcast, no.
But now you listen to this podcast, and you and you listen to some other podcasts now and again. So once you dip your toe in and you quite like it, you do more. And I do generally think radio's old hat. I honestly think podcasts are the way forward. When we are super connected and we're driving our cars and you can pick any podcaster, why not? Why do I, I've always said this, why do I want to listen to some girl and boy laughing in the morning on a local breakfast show about, you know, showbiz?
Pants.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, and or Kim Kardashian has had a haircut. Who cares?
Justin, you built a career on doing that.
I know. It's in the ear of my ways.
I was going to say, careful. Also, I'm covering one of those shows in about 2 weeks' time.
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh, One Direction. Now, this is interesting. They've called off a gig because one of them's ill, but then they said the other one was ill. Oh! What's the truth? Who gives a
I think that's the difference between you and an 18-year-old, just.
But the thing is,
the
good thing is, you see, though, you imagine if One Direction pulls into a station, you know, one of the global Bauer groups over there, and they have this audio there, that's on their playback feature. And do you think little girls will go listen to that? Of course they will. And you can put little ads at the start and end of that. Boom. Literally. Boom.
Audio boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it seems to be a good model. And they've got quite a small team, haven't they? It's like, it's a very small...
Yeah, compared to Spotify, I have 140-odd, and they have about 40-odd, I think. So,
Where are they based?
Well, they're based in New York and London, and I'm going for a meeting with them soon, actually.
Are you?
Yes.
Oh. What, in New York?
Can you talk about that, or is that...
Unfortunately, it's not in New York, no, it's in... It's in London, isn't it, mate? But yeah, I think it's I quite like it. I've also, in fact, for my brother, I bought some arse. Oh!
Asian Met.
I got him a bit of arse. A piece of arse. Yeah, Asian Met, ARS, of course, the ticker code. And because I don't understand what happened there this week. Do you?
No, I was going to ask you about that, and I heard you talking about that on the podcast, isn't it? Great news, it all seems very positive, and yet the share price goes down, if anything.
Apparently, Tony wasn't happy. Tony, you see, Tony, he was not happy with that.
Hey, Tony, big Tony, what's happening with your cup of mine?
Oh, Tony Manini, you know what I'm saying? What's going on here? We've upgraded 44% increase, and the share price is down? What's going on? Tony's not happy with this.
That
was Tony Manini. Yeah. He's Australian, actually. Have you noticed Australians?
It's an awesome impression.
Oh, yeah, look. Yeah, listen. Australians always start that with a sentence where, listen. Yeah, look.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And why do they do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, look. Look
or listen, isn't it? Look or listen.
And I tell you what, are your listens here? Yeah.
Are they crossing the road when they start? Is that what it is?
Yeah, look,
listen.
Look and listen,
look,
yeah?
Listen.
But Tony there, essentially they came out with, the final sort of drilling, and basically the resource of copper there has been upgraded 43%, I think, more than they thought they had. And this, I think if I heard it right, Tony was saying a dollar on a margin dollar on every pound. I'm sorry, but basically it's 44,000. So you're talking about a revenue here, 44 million, you know? That's sort of thing, an annual revenue. So, you know, do a 10%. I do a 10% on that operating margin. You've got 4.4 million. And yet their market cap is what? Round about that? That's a PE of one. Or one point. I said this on my blog a while back. One point. You know, and this is a guy that has a cracking track record. But that's it, you see. Sometimes stock gets the favour of private investors, like CEB has. It's got that favour. It's got something about it. Dave there. And, and they haven't even got an asset yet. But Asian Met have this asset, and they got another one in Butong, it's in Sumatra as well, in Indonesia, four or five times as big as this one. And you think, hang on, what is going on here? So it's one of those things, your share price dropped by 10% or something on that one day they revealed this. And that was a bit of, by rumour, sell fact. Everyone sort of knew it was coming. But I just think long term, this is where you keep topping up. Part of me, I pulled back recently. I really was starting piling, getting in there, and then I wanted to buy some other shares, so I pulled back out a bit, and now I'm putting back in a bit. I'm putting it back in.
Okay.
But I did pull out, but now I'm putting it back in.
Okay. What are you talking about now?
Arse.
I thought you were. Right. Good. So you pulled out of arse. You've gone.
No, no, I've gone back in.
You're dipping into your arse.
No, I'm slowly edging back in.
Okay. Just highly recommended to do it slowly.
Yeah. And out slowly. Mm. In slowly and out slowly. That's the way to do it.
Is it costing you a lot?
No, because I bought at a low level and I sold. I quite like. Do you know what I may do as an experiment? I may just have. I've got too many stocks. You know, I've got about 16 stocks now. I think it is. I think I'm going to trade a bit more. What I mean by that, not trade, scale in and out. So literally, you know, there's shares got them down, you know. So I may...
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Yeah, so I may just, you know, when it's low, just five stocks, and you can see then basically the patterns of how they work. It's basically got them down, and, you know, like the tide. So, you know...
This is groundbreaking stuff tonight.
But keep five stocks and pile into one.
Yeah,
and then you know when it goes to the top, the little trading range there. Wait for a little break out. If it can't come back down, take a bit out. Maybe put in another stock when the tide is low there. Tide is high, but I'm going.
Have you been drinking?
Yeah, sadly, only squash.
Oh.
So talking about you know anything else? What else? Well, I'm a bit disappointed in New World Oil and Gas. Actually, I expected there to be some kind of thing going on there because I think Ben. Mm. Do you know what? Very interesting tweet from Ben Turney there this week. New World Oil and Gas came out and said, we've extended our license in Belize, which is the RNS there. And I thought, what? Come on, guys, give up the ghost on that. Yeah, we all know it's not going to happen. And I thought,
Belize.
Yeah, oh, Belize. But
Belize.
And then Ben Turney came out with a tweet saying, this is just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic stuff. They don't mean that. And it's good to see there's still an operating company. So, I think... Because what the news everyone's expecting to come out is that he's called an EGM or something, you know, and they're going to get rid of the directors and get someone in there, like Adam... I can't think of his name, Adam. But, what's his name? Adam... guys, Adam... Adam...
Adam... Adam...
Levine.
I know what you mean.
Adam Levine from Maroon 5.
Adam Levine. That's it. Yeah, Maroon 5.
Yeah. They're going to get him in there. And, let me think of it. Adam Reynolds and Nick Musto and Mark Colin Bourne. That was on their website saying they did do that. But the news came out about Belize and all that. What's going on? But I do expect, I've got a bit of money in there now, and I do expect something to be happening there very soon, because they can't just carry on that charade there, doing nothing, pretend they're doing something. So that's an exciting play, you know?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Steve.
Steve, you're very quiet. What are you doing this week? You sorted out your toilet roll?
Yeah, that was all, you know, topped up and ready for my guests last weekend. So that was, you know, welcomed when they arrived.
Is that what your guests do? Just come around and use your toilet roll?
Yeah, that's what they do. They just use
toilet guests.
Yeah, toilet guests. So, I had 5 stars on the toilet guests.
Does it bother you when people use the toilet for like number 2?
Does it bother me?
Yeah.
Well, not really, no.
You actually take pride. You want them to use your toilet, you see? Check out the toilet.
Actively encourages it.
Yeah, check out my toilet. I put an extra roll on the radiator there.
Do a little trail from downstairs up and toilet roll for people.
Try and tempt them into the toilet. Would you like to use my facilities before we start the evening?
It's kind of like having running water when you need a wee. It makes you want to wee more. You see toilet paper on the stairs.
Yeah.
You want to go for number 2.
It's already up there for you. If you just want to pop up there.
Go on, buddy. Go on, get up there.
Yeah. I remember once in my Cardiff flat, and I had this guy just do some tiling in my thing there, in my bathroom.
I don't know where this is going.
No, but
your thing.
Yeah, every now and again, right, he would shut the door while he was tiling. Once I tried it and couldn't open the door. So I just want to check what he's doing. And he's like having a number 2 in there. Because I opened the door afterwards and it stunk in there, right?
Right.
Every now and again this would happen. A couple of hours later he shut the door. And I thought, he's doing a lot of pooing, actually.
If he's got a problem, he's found the right kind of job, though, hasn't he? He's working in a lot of bathrooms.
I think that's why he got the job. He can't be too far away from a toilet. And I thought, what's he doing? And it just annoyed me that he didn't ask. He just locked the door and didn't ask to use the facilities, which annoyed me a bit.
Good job he wasn't doing the tiling in the kitchen then, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, good point.
Did I tell you about that time that I had my flat and I was sitting there naked with my laptop on my lap?
Why would you do that?
Well, no, it was a brand new flat, block of flats. I was one of the first guys to move into this block of flats in Cardiff. I bought it in the Cardiff Bay and I had a week off just to sort things out in the flat. And I was sitting there with my laptop and naked, just got up in the morning, got a laptop out, sitting there on my sofa. And all of a sudden, I heard the door go open, the door of my flat go open. This guy with a clipboard and a yellow hard hat walk in, stare at me. Me look at him. We stared at each other for a while. He nodded to me. I nodded to him, and he left.
I thought, nice laptop.
Who is he? Why is he? And it was obviously a former, and he didn't realise that my flat was occupied because most of them weren't. But it was very odd. Me just seeing the strange man in a hard helmet stare at me, look at me on my laptop, naked.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
I saw his yellow helmet, but he didn't see my.
He saw your hard hat.
We just acknowledge each other and give a quick nod, like two men would, you know.
Yeah.
Like everything was fine. And he ticked me off on his clipboard and left.
Yeah, there was a thing, there was an entry on the list that said naked man with laptop. Yep.
We've got one of those.
Yep, here he is.
Oh, there we are. You're still single, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh. Peter?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. You seem disappointed by that, Just.
Monty, you should be in bed. What are you watching? Come here. Come and say hello.
Yeah. Any tips?
Sit up here.
Any share tips, Monty?
Say hello.
Hello.
Hello, Monty.
Who's that then?
Hello.
No.
Say hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Right, that's
what do you,
right.
What do you think of the markets this week, Monty?
What do you think of the markets this week? What have you been doing this week? What have you been doing today? I don't know, you went to Poppy's, didn't you? Did you buy any stocks and shares? Yes. Yes. Yes, you did. Go and see Fred then, quick. Good boy. Right, that's it. And anything else, lads, we can talk about?
No, I think I'm exhausted.
Me too.
Yeah, okay then. And Peter, are you dating yet?
No.
What's going on there?
I'm just trying to.
I expect a bit of improvement, progression on this on this front. Okay.
Okay.
Next time I'm asking, I at least log on to a dating site or something. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Or at least look at some pictures.
I think you've probably done enough of that. You're past that stage already.
Oh, I see. Yeah, right.
Pictures and moving images on the internet. I think you know what a lady looks like.
I think Pete was on about looking at pictures of couples. Is that right, Pete?
No, Steve, I'll leave that to you.
Okay, right, okay,
what
just
do
my
mean,
thing then.
Couples?
Well, because he's not in a relationship, so you just look at pictures of people in relationships.
Oh, okay, is that what you do?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going
wrong. What Steve does, he looks at little ladies and men holding hands saying, I could be one of those.
I've not got a date from it yet.
Yeah. All right, then, ladies. That's it for the podcast. I think anything else we need to talk about? I think. So,
Just do the T's
and C's. Yeah. Don't buy anything that we talk about. Do your own research.
Well, that's not strictly true, Steve. They can buy something we talk about. We talk about beans. They can buy beans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll do your own research, whatever.
What, on beans? Do you think someone's going to buy some beans and then and complain to us? I bought some beans. You advised it. Can't stand beans. Never have.
If they didn't do the research and whether they like them or not, that's their own fault.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
That's not really a good point, is it?
I mean,
right. Bye bye then.
Bye.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.